reopening, and specifically about the reopening of the states of Missouri and Arkansas. Now, you may be wondering why I want to highlight this morning. For those of you who don't know, Green Forest is a city that is nestled between Harrison and Eureka Springs, Arkansas, just 25 miles south of Branson, Missouri. And on Wednesday of last week, the Missouri Governor, Mike Parson, shared his plan for reopening the state, which starts tomorrow, May 4th. Now, this means in Missouri, specifically, that businesses and citizens will have the freedom, if you will, to attend social gatherings without the restrictions of 10 people or less. Now, there is a command of people having to stay 6 feet away from non-family members in most situations, but not applying, if you will, to anyone doing a job that requires getting closer than 6 feet. Now, there are restrictions that will continue to be in place for nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Everything else will be open back up unless they are directed by local officials to do otherwise. Restaurants will have to follow the Missouri Restaurant Association guidelines. Now, on this same day, the Arkansas governor, by the name of Asa Hutchinson, shared his reopening plan, stating that restaurants will be able to open only with limited dining on May the 11th, and that means they can only have one-third of their occupancy capabilities. Now, there will still be social distancing orders in place of 6 foot, but bars and entertainment places will be prohibited from reopening. Now, there are some malls in central Arkansas that have already reopened with adjusted hours, and gyms, I understand, will also be reopened. Now, you may wonder why I'm sharing this with you, and the reason is because I have seen that there are multiple arguments and concerns about liabilities for businesses such as retailers and food services being held responsible if there is a COVID-19 case in relation to the business. But that's not all. My social media feed is littered with polarizing opinions from Christians regarding these reopenings. Some folks are completely against the process for fear of a second wave of this virus, and then there are others who are complaining about this reopening, that it's not been implemented quickly enough. Now, regardless of the opposing opinions or what lies in between, both sides seem to be driven by one of two reasons. In my opinion, that is, folks have either become distracted due to their fears and anxiety, or they're simply suffering from a spirit of impatience. Now, I don't mean this to come across as disrespectful or inconsiderate or even judgmental. I understand the reality of where we are, but I do think it is important to remind those of us who are followers of Christ that there is greater dangers to our spiritual life than COVID-19 or COVID-induced economic pain. As people of faith, we must be consciously aware of the pitfall and snares that our enemy can use through COVID-19 and/or an economic recession. This time in our country has so many people feeling overwhelmed. Many folks are wrestling with mental insecurity. The fear and anxiety associated with the unknown can be a key used by our enemy to distract us from our godly pursuit. Likewise, the COVID-19 impatience, as a phrase I've heard from others, can also be used by the enemy to manipulate our trust of God. Anything that our enemy can use to distract us from having eyes to see and ears to hear the things of God gives Satan a temporary foothold in our life. And he uses such times to challenge our belief in the legitimacy of God's providence, prudence, and promises. So today I want you and I to look at a passage of Scripture that I pray will inspire us from within, not only to examine our souls and evaluate how we're responding to COVID-19, but to see if this matches the design of God for our lives as a community of faith. So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture today from the Gospel of John. I believe they're on the screen for you now. So join me as I read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 reads, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follows him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. And I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." It's our tradition here at the Green Forest United Methodist Church, once the scripture is read, to say, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds, Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Holy Lord, we know that your word is a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. May it be so within our heart, mind, and soul also. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, I think it's important for you, the viewers, to know that these verses we just read are a part of a heated exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees, which was sparked back in chapter 9 of this gospel after Jesus healed a blind man. In this monologue, we see that Jesus is using metaphorical language of shepherds and sheep to set up a contrast, if you will, between the shepherd who cares for the flock and the thieves and bandits who only come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Jesus details that he is the shepherd and the gatekeeper. He describes who Christ was and is, as well as how God works in our lives. Now, remember, the gatekeeper's job was to protect the sheep at night. It was a job that demanded an individual to be committed and determined in allowing only the shepherd to enter through the gate, the one who loved the sheep as much as the gatekeeper. The shepherd's job was to lead the sheep into the abundance of pastures and water. This means that humility must be a cornerstone of this person's character, willing to sacrifice their comforts and needs for the sheep they were caring for. Now, because of this relationship, Jesus says the sheep learn to trust and follow only his voice. I mean, for me, this is a classic reminder that when we do not allow the distractions of life to interfere with our trust of the guidance of God, then all that we are offered will be from the abundance of God's goodness. But here is the irony within this story. You see, I believe that the Pharisees truly thought that they themselves were the benevolent shepherds of the people. But Jesus makes it clear that their distraction due to their Sabbath laws was robbing people of experiencing the goodness of God. You see, instead of instilling faith, they were instilling misery. So the reason for the use of this vocational metaphors was to awaken the Pharisees from their spiritual bankruptcy and hypocrisy. Now, I realize that these verses did not occur within the context of a pandemic. But the distractions associated with their day, I believe, could be compared to ours today. These people, meaning the Pharisees, who were recognized as the people of God, were distracted from the things of God, evident by their lack of compassion and amazement at the man's healing. And for those of you who know the story and have read John 9 and 10 before, I hope that you noticed in that reading that the Pharisees, seem to care less about the man himself and more about the legality of him being healed on a Sabbath. Here again, I see another great reminder for us, and that is this. People can become distracted even when they think they are doing good. You see, distractions can be simple, they can seem innocent. A great illustration about how easily distractions can be life-altering can be gleaned from a scene in the movie called Chariots of Fire. Within that movie, there was a runner named Abraham, and he had won many, many races. His coach held such high discipline. But he finally lost one of the races at the very finish line, and the way he lost was that as he approached the finish line, he decided to look around to see where his competitor was. And as he looked, he got beat. In the movie, the coach tells him, that look costs you the race. It's very simple. Distractions cause us to miss the arrow of living within the center of God's will. Now, why I think this is important and why I'm speaking on this today is because in the days to come, you and I are going to have many voices that will continue to seek to get our attention as the country begins to reopen. While much of it will be useful instruction for safety, some of it will be nothing more than opportunities for us to engage in distractions. It will entice us to lose our focus on the things of God that promote abundant life within us, abundant life within the communities where we live. Our enemy will use every distraction possible to birth within us the spirits of offense, complacency, and insincerity. I mean, if we had the time this morning to read John chapter 9, I believe we can see that these character defects, or I'm going to call them sins, were the fruit of the Pharisees' distractions. It's a paramount, church, that we as the body of Christ see how distractions have served our enemy extremely well. If you and I would just mentally revisit the story in the Garden of Eden, we see that Satan's priority was to distract Adam and Eve from their attention of God to something else. And that distraction to something else made his job complete. And humanity, creation, has suffered from it ever since. It's in the distraction that we open ourselves to the dangers that can rob us from the joy of salvation, steal from us the abundance of God's grace that empowers you and I to be the Word made flesh, and can kill our passion, pursuit, and purposes of God that live and reign within our heart. In my current preparation for this sermon time, I believe God wants to remind us that our Heavenly Father is here to heal as well as shield all of us from the things that distract us from living into and living out His kingdom and His righteousness. Just as God was speaking through Christ to the Pharisees of the day in our text, our Creator is still speaking to each of us through this reopening period of COVID-19. The voice of God continues to invite us to embrace the abundant life that only God can give. Now, this passage of Scripture has been used evangelistically very well in the past. In fact, I know personally that the enemy does come to kill, steal, and destroy because I lived in that personal hell for over 20 years. But in my time of study, I don't think that within the original setting, Jesus was threatening anyone with hell and damnation. When he talks about those who have come before him in verse 8 that were robbers and thieves, he's talking about people who wanted to bring about peace and prosperity for the country or the people of Israel through insurrection. But Christ in our reading today is encouraging all the listeners. And when I say all, I mean those who were doing the oppressing as well as those who were being oppressed to act with love, mercy, compassion, and justice. And when I say justice here, I mean righteousness. It's a call on the people of God to usher in the kingdom of heaven that Christ made present with his life and promises to bring to fruition with his second coming. In the days and months to come, there are going to be many voices we will hear that will provide an opportunity upon opportunity for you and I to become distracted, for you and I to become negative on social media platforms, to have negative conversations around coffee tables, expressing the negativity within the world instead of the goodness of our God. I want to remind you, my friends, the voice of God will never, ever command you and I to be sources of hate, injustice, or cruelty. God's voice will always be the voice that is instructing, inviting, and installing a yearning within us to pursue our purpose with a passion so that God will be glorified. How you and I respond to others during this new phase of COVID-19 not only affects them, but affects how we all experience the kingdom of God. So I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus.